The following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
Welcome to Memorable Moments in History. It was on February the 14th, 1849, that photographer Matthew Brady took the first photograph of a U.S. president in office, James Polk. On that day in 1929, the St. Valentine's Day Massacre occurred in Chicago. The seven members of the Bugs Moran gang were gunned down by five of Al Capone's mobsters posing as police. And it was on the 14th of February, 1929, that penicillin was discovered. Sir Alexander Fleming was a young bacteriologist when an accidental discovery led to one of the greatest developments of modern medicine. Having left a plate of Staphylococcus bacteria uncovered, Fleming noticed that a mold that had fallen on the culture had killed many of the bacteria. He identified the mold as Penicillium notatum, similar to the kind found on bread. On February the 14th, 1929, Fleming introduced his mold byproduct called penicillin to cure bacterial infections. It was on the 15th of February, 1898, in Havana, that the U.S. battleship Maine was blown up while at anchor and quickly sank with 260 crew members lost. The incident inflamed public opinion in the United States, resulting in a declaration of war against Spain on April the 25th, 1898, amid cries of "Remember the Maine." On that same date, 101 years later, the Soviets completed their military withdrawal from Afghanistan after 9 years of unsuccessful involvement in the civil war between Muslim rebel groups and the Soviet-backed government, with over 15,000 Soviet soldiers killed. It's the birthday of the astronomer and physicist Galileo Galilei in 1564. He died in 1642 and was born in Pisa, Italy. He was the first astronomer to use a telescope and advanced the theory that the sun, not the earth, was the center of the solar system. It's also the birthday of the astronomer Nicolaus Copernicus in 1473, and he died in 1543 and was born in Turin, Poland. He was considered the founder of modern astronomy and theorized that the sun, not the earth, was the center of the solar system. It's also the birthday of the inventor Cyrus McCormick in 1809. He died in 1884 and was born in Rockbridge County, Virginia. He invented the horse-drawn mechanical reaper, a machine that freed farmers from hard labor and contributed to the development and cultivation of vast areas of the American Great Plains. And it's the birthday of Susan B. Anthony in 1820. She died in 1906 and was born in Adams, Massachusetts. A pioneer in women's rights, she worked tirelessly for women's suffrage, the right to vote, and in 1872 was arrested after casting a vote in the presidential election. She was commemorated in 1979 with the Susan B. Anthony dollar coin, and thus became the first American woman to have her image on a U.S. coin. It was in 1950, February the 15th to be exact, that Disney's Cinderella opened. The ethereal Cinderella, based on a fairy tale by the Brothers Grimm, featured enduring songs like "A Dream is a Wish Your Heart Makes," and became one of Disney's most beloved films. Walt Disney had been releasing feature-length animated movies since 1937, when Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs became the first animated film to run at feature length. Born on a Missouri farm, Walt Disney sold his first sketches to neighbors when he was just 7. And he attended the Kansas City Art Institute at night while he was in high school. At age 16, during World War I, Disney went overseas with the Red Cross and drove an ambulance that he decorated with cartoon characters. Back in Kansas, Disney started working as an advertising cartoonist. He founded a company with his older brother Roy, Laugh-O-Gram, but the company went bankrupt and the brothers left Kansas for Hollywood with $40 and some art supplies. The brothers built a camera stand in their uncle's garage and started their company in the back of a Hollywood real estate office. Walt Disney began making a series of animated short films called Alice in Cartoonland and began developing various animated characters. In 1928, he introduced Mickey Mouse in 2 silent movies. Mickey debuted on the big screen in Steamboat Willie, the first fully synchronized sound cartoon ever made. Walt Disney provided Mickey's squeaky voice himself. The company went on to produce a series of sound cartoons such as the Silly Symphony series, which included the Three Little Pigs in 1933, and introduced characters like Donald Duck and Goofy. Meanwhile, the company developed increasingly sophisticated animation technology. When Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs was released in 1937, it grossed $8 million, an incredible success during the Depression. During World War II, Disney devoted most of his company's resources to the production of training and propaganda films for the military. In 1965, he designed the Experimental Prototype Community of Tomorrow, or EPCOT, which he envisioned as an aid toward improving the quality of life in American cities. He also helped establish the California Institute of Art in 1961. His 43-year career earned him nearly 1,000 honors and citations from throughout the world, including 48 Academy Awards and 7 Emmys. Harvard, Yale, the University of Southern California, and UCLA all bestowed him with honorary degrees. He was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom, France's Legion of Honor, Officer d'Academie Decorations, Thailand's Order of the Crown, Brazil's Order of the Southern Cross, Mexico's Order of the Aztec Eagle, and the Showman of the World Award from the National Association of Theater Owners. In addition to his films, his legend lives on through Disneyland, Walt Disney World, and Epcot Center. And generations of children have experienced the joy and magic of the happiest place on earth. Disney died in 1966. Also on the 15th of February, but in 1914, the Jesse L. Lasky Company, which later became the famous Players Lasky Corporation and eventually evolved to become Paramount, released The Squaw Man, the first film directed by Cecil B. DeMille. DeMille had teamed up with glove salesman Samuel Goldfish, later Goldwyn, to produce motion pictures in 1913, and The Squaw Man, their first film, was a financial success. Now for the only clue to this week's Memorable Moments Memory Buster. This U.S. president survived an assassination attempt in Miami, Florida. I'll let you think about that for a while before I give you the answer toward the end of the program. It's the birthday on February the 16th of entertainer and politician Sonny Bono in 1935. He died in 1998 and was born in Detroit, Michigan. Following a career as a popular singer, he became mayor of Palm Springs, California, then became a Republican congressman, serving until his accidental death from a skiing mishap. It was called the most daring act of the age, and it occurred on February the 16th, 1804. During the First Barbary War, U.S. Lieutenant Stephen Decatur led a military mission that famed British Admiral Horatio Nelson called the most daring act of the age. In June 1801, President Thomas Jefferson ordered the U.S. Navy vessels to the Mediterranean Sea in protest of continuing raids against U.S. ships by pirates from the Barbary States, those being Morocco, Algeria, Tunis, and Tripolitania. American sailors were often abducted along with the captured booty, ransomed back to the United States at an exorbitant price. After 2 years of minor confrontations, sustained action began in June 1803, when a small U.S. expeditionary force attacked Tripoli Harbor in present-day Libya. In October of 1803, the U.S. frigate Philadelphia ran aground near Tripoli and was captured by Tripolitan gunboats. The Americans feared that the well-constructed warship would be both a formidable addition to the Tripolitan Navy and an innovative model for building future frigates. Hoping to prevent the Barbary pirates from gaining this military advantage, Lieutenant Stephen Decatur led a daring expedition into Tripoli Harbor to destroy and capture American vessels on February the 16th, 1804. After disguising himself and his men as Maltese sailors, Decatur's force of 74 men, which included 9 U.S. Marines, sailed into Tripoli Harbor on a small 2-mast ship. The Americans approached the USS Philadelphia without drawing fire from the Tripoli shore guns and then boarded the ship, attacked its Tripolitan crew, capturing or killing all but 2. After setting fire to the frigate, Decatur and his men escaped without loss of a single American. The Philadelphia subsequently exploded when its gunpowder reserve was lit by spreading fire. 6 months later, Decatur returned to Tripoli Harbor as part of a larger American offensive and emerged as a hero again during the so-called Battle of the Gunboats, a naval battle that saw hand-to-hand combat between the Americans and the Tripolitans. And it was on the 16th of February, 1959, that Fidel Castro was sworn in as Prime Minister of Cuba after leading a guerrilla campaign that forced right-wing dictator Fulgencio Batista into exile. Castro became Commander-in-Chief of Cuba's armed forces after Batista was ousted on January 1st, replaced by the more moderate Miro Cardona as head of the country's new provisional government. Also this week, on February the 17th, 1909, Apache Chief Geronimo, born in 1829, died while in captivity at Fort Sill, Oklahoma. He had led a small group of warriors on raids throughout Arizona and New Mexico. Caught once he escaped, the U.S. Army then sent 5,000 men to recapture him. It's the birthday of the American politician Wendell Willkie in 1892. He died in 1944 and was born in Elwood, Illinois. He was the Republican nominee for president in 1940, running against Franklin D. Roosevelt. And on the 19th of February, 1942, internment of Japanese Americans began after President Roosevelt issued an executive order requiring those living on the Pacific coast to report for relocation. Over 110,000 persons shut down their businesses, sold off their property, quit school, and moved inland to relocation centers. Now for the answer to this week's Memorable Moments Memory Buster. This U.S. president survived an assassination attempt in Miami, Florida. Well, it was on February the 15th, 1933, that an assassination attempt on newly elected U.S. President Franklin D. Roosevelt occurred in Miami, Florida. A spectator deflected the gunman's aim. As a result, Chicago Mayor's Anton Cermak was shot and killed instead. The gunman, an Italian immigrant, was captured and later sentenced to death. I'll leave you today with this quote from Confucius. I hear and I forget. I see and I remember. I do and I understand. This has been Stephen J. Lowenstein reading to you. Thanks for listening here on theflypod.com. Join me next week for another edition of
Memorable Moments in History.